Caroline O'Connor, thank you so much for taking the time. I don't know if you know this, but I'm like your biggest fan. What?
Oh, my goodness. That makes me very happy. Thanks, Erin. That's very sweet.
Well, I saw you perform in Anything Goes in Melbourne. It was like kind of a whim. I was down there for a weekend. And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like an interesting musical. I walked away like, she's the most amazing triple threat I have ever seen. So I've got to get all the praise out of the way so we can get to talking about it. But seriously, I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, amazing. Ridiculously amazing. There you go.
Oh, that's so kind. And I'm no spring chicken anymore, but I'm still enjoying it as much as I ever had. You know, I feel, it makes me feel so young and happy and excited. It's one of those shows that you just get to do a bit of everything. And, the comedy and the great songs and the dancing, and you just feel so fulfilled, you know, as a performer, you know, not to sound too deep about it, but you do, you just feel happy. And I am actually working with probably the happiest company that I've ever worked with before. So there's something pretty magical about this production.
I love it. No spring chicken? Are you kidding me? I was like, everyone was like left behind. I was like, because I'm sure most of the other cast are probably in their 20s, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm telling you.
Yeah, our youngest is 19, and we have a couple of those. A couple of people have had their 21st birthday while we've done the show.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, I've had a couple of those birthdays and then some. So, it's, I think because I started dancing so young, you know, I started dancing. Irish dancing when I was four.
Wow.
Ballet when I was nine. And, you know, I went to the Royal Ballet School when I was 17. So I had pretty good training. And I think having good training has stood me in good stead, you know, for longevity. And so I feel, you know, pretty fit. And I inspire, like, I'm inspired by a lot of those American women who went on, you know, for many years doing what they did. And so, I look at them and think, come on, if they can do it, like Cheetah Rivera, you know, and Shirley MacLaine and people, come on, sister, if they can do it, you can do it too, you know.
Oh, you've got another 50 in you. By the looks of it, I was like, ah. Oh. It's so impressive. I mean, particularly for Anything Goes. I mean, I walked away going, man, they don't make musicals like they used to, like the whole kind of dance sequences, the fun of it all. I mean, tap dancing particularly with the big tune Anything Goes. How do you get through it without kind of falling into a heap?
It's very exciting, isn't it, when you see a number like that? Because, you know, we haven't seen a number like that on the Australian stage for many, many years. And I think probably 42nd Street was the closest thing to it, which was, I don't know, maybe even in the 80s. Yes, it's thrilling. And not only is it, wonderful tap. We have a great choreographer, Andrew Hallsworth, who's created a great number. Because it's not like a military operation. You know, quite often with this show, because it's set on a boat, people feel the need to make it look like, you know, it's the Navy or something. But it's a cruise ship. You know, people are on there just having a good time. So it's really about just having fun. It's like a real party atmosphere. But the number goes for 7.5 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and we include the half minute because, you know, that half minute, you feel it by the end. So it was a real sort of exercise in stamina. We had to learn it pretty quickly in rehearsal because they wanted to get it on film to do press promotion. Mm. So we learned the whole thing in 2 days. I was in agony. I mean, my knees were just killing me. I had blisters all over my heels. I was crying, you know, when I'd go home because we'd learned it so quickly. But thank God we did, because we needed to do that, you know, to get the stamina going. I mean, I'm the one person that does the number from beginning to end.
Yeah.
I have to say it is difficult on a nightly basis, but thrilling. You know, the orchestration's fabulous. Everyone's sort of yelling at each other on stage, you know, to keep each other going. And it's genuine. It's just genuine, like, come on! They're just yelling. And the audience go crazy for it. I mean, on opening night, we had a standing ovation at the end of Act One for the tap number, which I've never, in my whole career, I have never experienced that before. So, yeah, it's you can tell, can't you? I just absolutely love it.
I'm not surprised. It's kind of like when you watch a movie and you see a car chase and it's awesome and then you get in your car and you're like, oh, yeah, my car can, you know, go do those manoeuvres. I swear, you walk out of the theatre going, I can tap dance. Yeah. I'm not going to go down these stairs. I'm using jazz hands and I'm tapping.
It is a real feel-good thing, and I think you're right about the older musicals. They had a real quality about them. It was magnificent writing. You know, they really knew how to put those ingredients together to make a good show. You know, they're brilliant at it, and that's why America, you know, the Broadway has such a reputation of creating those shows, and also all those fabulous movie musicals. Because when I'm doing a show, you know, I tend to do quite a lot of research. I'll look at all the old, you know, clips, all the old productions, all the old recordings, and sort of look at it and say, well, what do I love about that that I might take with me and or use, steal, whatever. And then maybe, I like the idea of doing this. And then, of course, the director guides you. And so there's a lot of different things that I do probably that people haven't done in other productions. For instance, I don't think Reno Sweeney has danced as much in other productions in the past. Normally, you know, she'll sort of start the number and then sort of slip off to the side and everyone else starts flapping and tapping, you know. So, and then she comes back on and sings a big note. So, yeah, it was at first I thought, Andrew, are you crazy? but now I'm so glad I didn't put my hand up and say, you know what, I think I, you know, should pull out. I'm so glad I didn't do that. And then, of course, we have Act Two, which is Blow Gabriel Blow, which is another enormous number, the sort of evangelist movement number, which is hilarious as well.
Actually, I'm curious, what's your favourite song to perform? Because I loved You're the Top. That was my, I mean, Anything Goes, obviously, the showstopper, but You're the Top, what a song. What was your favourite?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to decide. I'm really spoiled because I also get a kick out of You, which is a terrific, you know, Cole Porter song. You're the Top is fabulous. I have to say, it's so much fun to sing. And, you know, after doing research, there's so many different versions of it. I mean, I don't know how they decide. This man was a blooming genius, you know, how he did this, write so many magnificent songs and also so many versions of them. I'll never know, but, yeah, that is fun. And working opposite Alex Rathgeber is just, it's a dream. I mean, he's the most wonderful leading man. Spectacular performance, you know, and he's so great with accents and his voice is just to die for. You know, he's a real a sort of matinee idol, dreamy leading man. I've got three leading men, actually. And then I've got Wayne Scott Kermond, who's the funniest man in show business in Australia. I just look at him, I start smiling and laughing. And I've known him forever.
Nice.
So that number friendship is absolutely genuine, no acting required. And then, of course, I've known Todd McKenney forever as well because we did West Side Story together. So it's been a fabulous reunion with him.
Such a great cast.
And the company are just a huge bunch of triple threats, you know, who are all about to emerge and have crazy careers.
Oh, it's brilliant. But I was actually trying to explain to someone the plot line of Anything Goes, you know, cruise liner, it's going from New York to London.
Yeah, if you could explain it to me, that would be great.
See, because that's the thing. It's like there's a love triangle and then it becomes a love square. And then I think there's a hexagon. Like it just, it's kind of like that. And then there's a mobster in there and stowaways.
I've had embarrassing moments trying to explain the plot because it's very tricky, very complicated. But when you're watching the show, like I remember watching the first run through and going, oh, okay, yes, well, it makes total sense now. You know, but it's too many complicated little moments. It's the thing about it is it's a farce. And with a farce, you get lots of different kind of storylines going on at the same time. And a lot of, like, mistaken identity or someone pretending to be someone else. There's a lot of that going on. And so it's very complicated, but they are on this wonderful cruise ship, you know, set in this fabulous period in the 30s, which, you know, was kind of quite glamorous. And going on a cruise ship was a really big deal then, of course. And just these people kind of accidentally bump into each other and mishaps sort of occur. And then suddenly at the end, there's three weddings. And you think, how on earth did that happen? Only in Hollywood or only on Broadway, you know.
I love the use of the dogs in this in the production. It's like no dogs were harmed because they're stuffed. And I love that use of my imagination.
I know. I really thought at one point they were going to use a real dog.
Oh, really?
Of course, they couldn't throw overboard, but well, they could. They could use a stuffed dog and as good a laugh. But it's funny how the audience just take it on board.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those shows, you know, where they just completely get drawn into the storylines. Like you say, there's a gangster on board. Of course there is.
Yeah.
You know, with a machine gun. It's like...
And there are, and like you said, like with Moonface's accent and things like that, like, oh, you I just was walking away talking like this. You can't help it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what are you doing, Mooney? You know, it's very... And then, of course... the sort of Asian characters are so hilarious as well. Those two boys, I just think they are so brilliant. And, you know, it's just a little added extra, but just makes all the difference. It's really set in the period.
Yeah.
And everything that we do, you know, at the time was what went on. And I just think it's like nostalgic. You just sit there and you're just taken back to another time and place. And it's pure escapism, the show, isn't it? And we've got this fabulous band that's on stage with us as well. And my husband is in the orchestra. So
is he?
Yeah. Oh. He plays saxophone, clarinet and flute in the orchestra, so we get to tour together, which is wonderful.
I think that's what I really loved about it, because I love jazz, and I was like, oh, it's a jazz orchestra, like, forget the other classical instruments.
Oh, yeah, it's all that wonderful sassy sound, you know, that, you know, Cole Porter music was so popular, and the orchestrations are beautiful. Peter Casey, our MD, has done a magnificent job, because, you know, we're not replicating the American production. This is an Australian creation. And I think from the advertising and things, people assume that it must be just a sort of cookie-cutter version of the American show.
Yeah.
And it isn't. I mean, Dean Bryant and Andrew Horsworth, Peter Casey, Dale Ferguson, who did the costume and set, they're all, you know, original creations that they've brought together. And I think that's what makes the show pretty good too, well, special, is because, you know, we're not having to do what someone else did. We've had a lot of free range just to have fun.
Yeah. Well, I was fortunate enough to, on a whim, catch it. I think it was your second last show in Melbourne. And I was just so excited that it's actually happening in Sydney very soon. So I can't wait to watch it again.
And Sydney Opera House, you know, like I performed at the opening of the Sydney Opera House, and I've been back there so many times. It's like second home to me. And
wow.
I just adore that place. And I just know, like, it's going to go off in Sydney. I can just feel it, you know. It's going to be so much fun. And it's going to be nice to come home to do the show.
Beautiful. Caroline O'Connor, like I said, such a big fan of yours. Thank you for using your gifts in this way, and particularly with this musical. It is a delight.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks, Erin. I really appreciate it.
Actually, I should have said de-lovely.
It's delightful. It's delicious. It's de-lovely.
Wonderful.